Blog Talk Radio.
Where he
would get all of the honor and where he gets all of the praise. The word of God say, if I be lifted up, he said that he'll draw all men unto him. So here at the Breakthrough broadcast today, we're here to exalt him. We're here to lift up his great and to his mighty name. Yes, he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. Yes, he is God, and he is God all by himself. And we would like to just thank you for tuning in on this Saturday evening as we bless the Lord. I believe that song say, I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I will bless his holy name. And it's time that we bless the Lord, that we lift up his name, that we exalt him continually. Today, we are so blessed to be able to go into another study of God's word. Today, we're going to be talking about foundation for family finances. Again, foundation for family finances. Our key verse today is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. It's time that we seek the face of God, to seek him first, and everything else will be added unto us. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our Breakthrough Broadcast panel to the Breakthrough Broadcast. And they are Miss Helen Hooper, Evangelist Geraldine Spencer, Pastor Monica Bryant, and Miss Sarah McKibbins. And we are just excited about what God is about to do. Yes, the word of God says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. He said, we shall know truth, and the truth will make us free. And whom the Son has made free is free indeed. So I want you to just get ready to enjoy the Lord today. Get ready, just so if you haven't already, you still have time to call a friend, to call a neighbor, and tell them that the Breakthrough Broadcast is on the air. Let them know that they can hear the word of God even as we get ready to speak forth the word of God through our panel. And I want you to know that God is in the place. God is in this place. And wherever you are, wherever the Lord is, I want you to know that there is blessing, that there is power wherever he is. There is authority wherever he is. So today we want you to be blessed through the word of God. Our first topic today will be avoid materialism. Avoid materialism is going to be coming from Luke, the 12th chapter, 13, through the 21st verse. And we would like to take this opportunity to welcome Pastor Monica Bryant to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Good afternoon, Dr. McCoy, and good afternoon to the panel and listeners of Breakthrough Broadcast. I'll be reading to you from Luke 12, 13 through the 21st verse from the NIV, and the topic will be avoid materialism. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. And I looked at the definition of the word greed, and it states that it's the desire for possessing or having more than one need. Verse 18 and 19, I looked there first because it gives a clear example of greed. It says, with all that he has, instead of giving some to others, he decides to tear down the barns that he has and build bigger ones, meaning he's going to keep it all for himself. This rich man has fooled himself into thinking that his plenty is going to last him a very long time, but it's not. What does God think of this rich man? And as you look in verse 20, what did God call him? God called him a fool. And because he has done this, his life is required of him that night. We need to understand that death doesn't always mean natural. You can die a spiritual death. The spirit of greed can separate you from God. If greed consumes you, you will stop assembling yourselves with those of the household of faith. You'll stop serving him. You'll stop being obedient to his word, as well as stop reading his word and stop praying. You will become blind to the will of God for your life. But some people think because they have plenty, they don't need God anymore. And it's sad that this is a true concept that is going on. And it is God that blessed them with the plenty. In Job chapter 31, verses 24, 25, and 28, it says, if I have put my trust in gold or said to pure gold, you are my security. If I have rejoiced over my great wealth, the fortune my hands had gained, then these also would be sins to be judged. For I would have been unfaithful to God on high. And some people don't realize that when they operate in greed, and that they're really being unfaithful to God. They're being unfaithful to the commandment of God. They're being unfaithful to the word of God. I would like to quickly share a quick small testimony with you dealing with greed. And this week I received a prophecy from God, and he said that I needed to die some more in my flesh. And how many of us know that when God wants to give you more of him, that you have to lose more of you? I received it because God was right, but I didn't know in what area. So God, he ended up revealing it to me where I was being greedy. And I wanted to have the area that I was being greedy in was in my marriage. And I wanted to have a baby for my husband, and it was for all the wrong reasons. And my husband already has three beautiful children from a previous marriage, and I saw the love that he had for them, and I wanted to be able to give him something special like that too. Thinking that, you know, me having a baby from my husband was going to strengthen our relationship, strengthen our bond, that it was going to connect me to him always, afraid that his connection with his ex-wife was going to become stronger. And I thought about it, and I said, now look at me. I thank you, God, for revealing that, because look at me being greedy. I mean, being greedy in the sense that, you know, God had already been blessed me. He already blessed me with six children of my own, four children from two previous relationships in my husband's life, and two godchildren that love me. All of them love me dearly. And greed had blinded me from the truth. And I did have to repent to God and immediately change. You know, as you look in verse 14, we see that Jesus does warn us about guarding ourselves against all kinds of greed. And there is. There's different kinds of greed. There's greed for money. There could be greed for power. There could be greed for, you know, the material things, like as far as property, things like that, and even greed for knowledge. So how can we avoid a life of materialism and have more of God in our life? By living a life of generosity. To live a generous life, you have to have a heart of a giver. In Galatians 6 and 10, it says that we have opportunity. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And in 2 Corinthians 9 and 12, verse 12, that this service, it says that this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. You know, the reason that we are really blessed with wealth from God is so we can be a blessing to others. God spoke to me this morning, and this is what he had to say. He told me, greed is birthed from fear, and generosity is birthed from faith, thus saith the Lord. And I definitely believe it because I have experienced it. And I can definitely say that I identify with the parable that Jesus spoke about avoiding materialism. And I turn it back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Pastor Ryan, for sharing with us on avoiding materialism. And yes, it is so important that we avoid things that we are not seeking first. And we'll put those things before God. We need to avoid them at all costs. The Word of God says to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto us. It is mandatory. It is right that we put God first. God doesn't have anything against riches and wealth and for us obtaining in life, but God do not want to be put on the back burner. He does not want us to seek things and to seek people and things for our own benefit. Because when we begin to seek things for our own benefit, then we are putting God in the behind and not first. And when we begin to seek people, we can begin to treat them and they can be idols in our eyes. But when we begin to seek God and put God first, all that we have belong to God. All, it doesn't matter if it's our car, it still belongs to God. Our home, it belongs to God. Our husband, it belongs to God. Even as Pastor Ryan was sharing with us today on how God opened revelation to give an understanding on some things that God wants to deal with her. So how beautiful it is when God deals with his people, when God show us what he will have us to do, how he instructs us in righteousness, how he brings illumination through our eyes, how he gives us the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding. So here we just see the move of God. We see of God being able to move in this scripture in Luke, the 12th chapter, the 13th. The 21st verse, and I know that God is going to even give us even more as we begin to not just set it aside, but we're just going to just explore it even more. So we're going to welcome to our broadcast evangelist Geraldine Spencer, and she's going to talk also about avoiding materialism. And yes, it's going to come from that same book, that same chapter, because God wants us to know that we need to put him first. And whatever it is going to bring a separation in our lives, then we have to be very careful. Woe to us. Woe to anyone that puts anything before God. Woe to the person that put other individuals before God instead of God being put first. So we can love money so much that we forget about our sister. We can love money so much that we forget about our brother. We can love the materialistic things of this life that we forget about the poor and the needy. Yes, we need to put God first. So at this time, we would like to thank the Lord, praise God, for Evangelist Geraldine Spencer as she comes, and she is going to talk to us about avoid materialism. Welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Breakthrough Broadcast. Amen. And thank you, Dr. McCoy, and to the panelists. And I just want to add, as the Lord has led me with this, avoid materialism. We see here in verses 13 through 15 that there was a quarrel between two brothers, and Jesus spoke to them about the greed, and he declared in verse 15 that, in other words, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possessed. And he was, in other words, speaking to them and letting them know that, you know, that is, in other words, what you're trying to, amen, to get more of is not going to make you be any better or any successful in the kingdom, into his kingdom, and that how we can possess a lot of things and we can own a lot of things, but if we don't, in other words, give it to God and surrender it to God and allow God to show us, you know, how to use it and what to do with it, that it means nothing, and it's all vanity. And the key verse in our study is about Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God consists of, amen, in other words, about the love, the fruit of the spirit, the love, the caring for people, the souls, ministering the gospel, ministering truth and righteousness and holiness, and being not only ministering, but being an example of it, being an example of it, and that he will, amen, make sure that all our needs, amen, are be added unto us, and what we stand in need of will be taken care of. And also here, I want to speak on about in the parable that how Jesus, when he was showing that this man, he had so much, and how he had an abundance, and his thought was on himself, and how he can protect, you know, what he have, that he would be secure, and that he would not have to want, you know, for anything, and not have to ask anybody for anything, or not have to, in other words, be self-sufficient. And here we see that the Lord was, in other words, Jesus was ministering and showing him, you know, you storing up all this, but you know what, your soul is not right. Your, in other words, where you gonna go, you know, when it's time for you to go, you need to first be seeking, amen, making sure that, amen, you have a relationship, and that you've given your life unto the Lord, and that, amen, your soul is saved. Amen. And we see here also that Jesus is telling us, and what I get from here is that how we need to always remember that as believers, and that when God blesses us, that he's not just blessing us because, you know, we've done something, or that we are mighty or great, but it's also, you know, it's a blessing to help others. And he's also testing us for us to see how, in other words, where we are in him with our sharing, where we are within our giving, where we are in our compassion and our willingness to help others, and also for us to see, because if he can't trust us, amen, that we're going to do that which is right with what little bit he does give us, how can he bless us with more? And I always, when I read this here part of the Bible in Luke here about the rich man, I always think about in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and it says verse 18 and 19, and it says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy fathers, and it is this day." And verse 19, "And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish." And this is a prime example in Luke, what, amen, was spoken in Deuteronomy 18 and 19, that here this man, he did perish. Amen, amen, in the parable, what he gave, what the Jesus gave. And I hear that, you know, know that the Lord is speaking unto us today, you know, that, okay, it's fine and dandy to be, you know, blessed and to have, but be mindful that God was the one that blessed you, and you have to seek him and do what he wants you to do with what he has blessed you with, and to glorify him. And I always like to give, just like when the Lord blessed me to get a brand new car and stuff, and you know, and I was like, "Lord, I thank you." And I said, and I immediately said, when it was all said and done, I said, "Lord, this car I give back to you. It belongs to you, and it's to do your will." Amen. It doesn't matter about who, you know, needs a ride, or who needs to a ride home from the grocery store, amen, and it doesn't matter about, you know, whether they smell and all this, because God, this belongs to you. This belongs to you. I am just, in other words, a keeper, amen, of this car, but it all belongs to you. So it is to do your will. So, amen. So when, you know, the Lord puts on my heart, in other words, and I hear that, if I'm in the store and I hear that, in other words, there's a struggle as far as to trying to get somewhere and a person don't have that, you know, I offer, you know, "Do you need a ride? Can I give you a ride?" Amen, because I know that, amen, God owns that car. It belongs to him. And I want to do, amen, what God wants to be done with it, to show that, you know, I'm just, in other words, a keeper of it, but he's the owner of it. Amen. And when you be obedient and you're willing to share and not looking at, "Ooh, well, I don't want that person getting in my car. They smell and they look this and they look that." But you know what? I cannot forget that he was the one that blessed me. Amen, and made it possible, amen, for me to, amen, to get a car. And like I said, that was a brand new car off the showroom floor. So I know, and I give God the glory, because what man was saying, God did the reverse and did what man was saying was impossible. So I give him the glory, and I use it for his glory, for his will, amen. And it doesn't matter about what they look like, what they smell like. It's about, amen, giving God the glory and you know, not taking our possessions and putting them up, amen, on a shelf. In other words, that for we begin to idolize it and to begin to worship it, amen, because, amen, that is of no avail and is no effect. It's not benefiting anyone, and it's not doing anything. God is not getting any glory out of it. Amen. And so it's not going to last. It's just vanity. Amen. And just remember, amen, Breakthrough Broadcast, amen, that if God blesses you, amen, and whatever God does for you, remember to, you know, give it back to him and ask him what you are to do, how you are to share into helping and to benefiting the people of God, and amen, and even those that are not, amen, people of God, amen, because even Jesus did, amen, go in among the sinners, amen, and stuff, but amen, he did not allow, amen, their sins to overtake him, he imparted into them. So, you know, it just not only look at just blessing the believers, but God might have you to pick up, amen, amen, a drunk or somewhere at the store, and you don't know what God, how God is going to use you to minister to him, and even just to show kindness, because, you know, sometimes it's even kindness, and because he said in his word, he said, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So you, if we're showing loving kindness, we don't know how that's going to draw, amen, a sinner unto Christ, for them to repent and to give their life unto Christ. Amen. So let's not, amen, be caught up in materialism. Let's not be caught up, amen, in the possession of what all we own and stuff, but be, amen, in a heart and willing to give and to share, amen, for the kingdom of God. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Evangelist Spencer, for sharing with us and blessing with us. Yes, we are talking about today on Breakthrough Broadcast Foundation, the family finances. And yes, we need to know as people of God, and this is especially addressed to the people of God and those that are getting a relationship with him, to know what we are to do as people of God. Yes, there are many of those that in the secular arena, we've been there. We've been through many things that they are experiencing now. But yet, as a believer, our light, it takes another light on the way that we walk, the way that we talk, the way we think about different things. You know, when we were in the world, we sometimes did not think about paying our tithe, getting our offering. And some, even in the world today, yes, I realize that they do pay tithe, they do give an offering, and I know that they are giving charities. And I just believe that God bless them as well, because you can't help but reap the good things that you have sown. But I'm saying today, as people of God and those that are listening to me today that may have neglected what God has called us to do. And see, when we begin to put our affection, put our heart and things on the things of this world, then we can't focus and we can't be in true relationship with the God Almighty, because we are putting those things first instead of God. And as I said before, God does not want us to just to be poor, but he want us to have the riches. He want us that we can be able to be prosperous enough in order to bless others as well. But then we can't put our prosperity before God. Sometimes when people are serving God, when they don't have that much, when they don't have a house that they want to live in, maybe they don't have a car that they want to drive in, but yet they are serving God. They are living for God. But then there comes a time in their life that God blessed them because of their obedience to be able to have some of the things that they did not have before, because they were seeking first the kingdom of God. But then later, when they began to take their eyes off of God and put their eyes on what they have, then that is not what God will have us to do. God showing us today is how we are to operate in the kingdom of God, how we are to operate with our finances, how we are to give unto God, how we are to be good givers to God, when we can give and then give back to God. God tells us to give our 10%. God tells us how to live, how to give to the poor. God tells us how to share. See, if you can't help but give when your heart is right with God. You can't help but love when your heart is right with God. So, yes, we need to know of God way of giving. We need to know the way of God way of how God wants us to operate even in our finance. So even Father, as we go through the study today, we have talked about our first topic that came from Pastor Monica Ryan. We talk about avoid materialism. So did Evangelist Spencer talk about avoiding materialism. And if that materialism going to get you in trouble with God, you need to ask God to help you be temperate in what you do. That you need to ask God to touch your heart, because there are many things that the monies that when we put monies in the right place, our homes, our finance, our bills, the church, and everything about it can function in the correct manner, in the way that God wants it to function. I don't know whether or not you are members of any church today out in our radio broadcast, and I hope that you are, but you must know the foundation of what God wants us to do. And you must seek the Lord, because that is what we're talking about, especially seeking the Lord while he can be found. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So when we can seek the righteousness of God, when we can have the heart of God, when we can have the mind of God, when our spirit is lining up with God, then all of these other things that we desire will going to be added. Because the word of God says if we delight ourselves in him, he said that he would give us the desires of your heart. I don't know what your desire is today, but I believe when we stand upon the word, when we do what God's word says, when we can walk according to his righteousness and not our righteousness, then I believe that we are lined up for blessing. Yes, I don't know about you, that I want God to bless me even more. I want God to bless me that I can be a blessing to others. And yes, I believe that God is blessing me because the fact that God sees my heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God, he looks on the heart. So when we find ourselves not want to give to God, we need to search our relationship with God. When we find that we don't want to give and the offering, when we don't want to give and bless others, and then we need to search ourselves and to see where we stand. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited about this. Avoid materialism. So we're getting ready to move even a little further. We're getting ready to, on our next subtopic, and it is a beautiful subtopic, which is give faithfully. And we're going to be coming from Malachi 3:8-11. Proverbs, the 3:9-10, 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, 1-3 verse, and 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 6-8 verse. And I would like to take this opportunity to welcome to our broadcast Miss Helen Hooper.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and to the broadcast family. And to the listeners, I'll be doing our second subtopic, which is give faithfully. And as Dr. McCoy said, it will be coming from Malachi 3:8-11, Proverbs 3:9-10, 1 Corinthians 16:1-3, and 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. And the first Malachi 3:8-11 says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith says the Lord of hosts. If I would not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your wine caster fruit, before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Now we're going to Proverbs 3:9-10, and it says, honor the Lord that with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians 16:1-3. And it says, now concerning, okay, 1 and 3, 16, 1 and 3. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, every one of you lay by him in store as God had purposed him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberty unto Jerusalem. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. And it says, but this I say unto you, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And here we see, and first of all, in Malachi, and God has sent Malachi to tell Israel to be loyal to him. It's saying that we see here in Malachi, if you stop at the first verse and you read on, we see that Israel has really turned from God. They haven't done anything that God would have them to do. The priests are going into the temples, and they're charging people for judging, taking monies, really taking bribes. I mean, they're bringing sick animals and offering them in the temples. They're just doing all manners of things. And God is telling them to be loyal, turn from these wicked ways. You're robbing him in tithes and offerings. You're giving him just anything. And us being men and women of God, and sometimes we say, well, God, I cannot afford to pay my tithes, and I cannot afford to pay my offerings. But we cannot afford not to pay our tithes and offerings. God is telling us here, and Malachi is going to Israel and tell them, if you turn from these wicked ways, if you start giving God what he deserves, then God will bless you. Even though he's telling Israel here that they are robbing him, they are taking things from him, they're not doing him right, they're not even listening to him. They're bringing him animals that are sick, animals that are crippled, animals that have just died. They're giving God just anything. And today, we as a church, sometimes we want to give God anything. I'm going to pay this bill over here, and then I'll give what's left over. If there's anything left over, we want to put it in the offering plate. That's not what God is telling us here. He's telling us how we should give. Over in Corinthians, Paul is telling him how the church to collect your tithes, how to collect the offerings, what to do on the first day of the week, how we should take that out, not even touch it. Take it out. He said, take it out of your wages or of the blessings that you have received. Take it out and put it aside. That means to put it aside so you won't bother. So when I come, it'll already be set aside. And sometimes when I think about this, tithes and offerings, I think about Adam and Eve, even in the garden. He said, the whole garden belongs to you, but just that one tree belongs to me. You know, that's my one tree. I want you just to leave that for me. And God is telling us, I just want a tenth of what you have, just a tenth. And the other 90%, you can basically do whatever you want to do. So we're seeing here, God is telling Israel, turn from that, become loyal, give me what I deserve. And here he's saying that would you give that to your governor? Try to give that to your governor. Go to the light bill place and say, well, I just want, if your bill is $100, well, I just want to pay $2 and see what they do for you. You're not going to get very far with that. That is, in essence, what God is saying here. We should give our tithes and offerings. This is the word of God. God, this is how we get our blessings. when people read this, they take it all out of context. Well, God says give what you can, or no, it clearly says he needs a tenth of your income. That's not just giving him any old thing. Like he was saying here, you're bringing me crippled animals. This is not right. This is evil in his eyes. He wants you to turn. He wants you to do right, do things. But he still says in Malachi, but I love you. He loves us even though we don't do the right thing all the time. We don't treat him right. We don't pay our tithes and offerings like we're supposed to. But then we still expect God to bless us and bless us and bless us and open that window that he talks about here and pour us out blessings. But how can he do that when you're not even recognizing that he is God and he is God of all? And if we pay our tithes, if we give him that tenth like we're supposed to, that he will bless us abundantly. And he says in his word, it's in his word, it's here in black and white, it's in his word, that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room to receive. And when we do that, we're blessed bountifully. That means that we can bless God's people. And I was hearing Evangelist Spencer say when she got her car, you know, how she uses it, you know, to help God's people. She doesn't care who it is. She's going to give them a ride because God blessed her with that, and she gives back that way with her car, in the way of her car. But when we do that, we can help build the kingdom of God. How can we as people of God go out to the nations and send pastors, evangelists, you know, people to the nations, and we're poor people? We got our hands so tight and closed so tight. Nothing can come in and nothing can go out. That's because we don't pay our tithes like we're supposed to, but we expect this big blessing. That is not going to happen. The word said you are cursed with a curse. So that means if you want God to bless you, do what he says. Do what his word says. Here Malachi is telling him he's pleading. God is sending him to Israel and pleading with them to be loyal to me. Don't treat me this way. I love you. Just do what the word says. Do what I say, and I'll bless you. I'll open up the windows of heaven. Trust in me. I am Lord of all. I am Lord of all, and there is no other. He was saying how much he loved them. But he was saying that, you know, you don't treat me right. You don't give me what is mine. 10% and you can just have 90%, that's not hard to do. But people think it robbery to give to the Lord, to give to the house of God. I've heard people say time and time again, well, I'm not giving my tithes because that preacher is driving that big Mercedes, and I'm just not going to help him do that. I'm not going to help him pay his mortgage. I'm not going to help. That is not what that is for. Now, the Bible does say that a workman is worthy of his hire, but also there are lights. There's air conditioning. When you come into a church, do you want to be hot? When you come into the church and flick on the lights, do you want there to be light? You can't sit in the dark and have service. When it's cold outside, when it's freezing outside, you do want to go to church and you want to be comfortable by sitting in the warm and in the heat. So there are different things that goes into where your tithes go. We're taking care of God's house. We're taking care of God's people. He said, bring it into the storehouse so there will be meat for my people. So when people come to the church, and there's going to be a time, and it's coming soon, that the world is going to have to depend on the church because the government is going to fail. So man is going to have to depend on the church. So this is where our tithes go. This is what he's talking about. This is what Paul is saying. Bring that into the storehouse so we're going to gather it up and we're going to send it to Jerusalem. We're going to take care of God's people. This is how we do it. This is how you do it. So this is how we take care of God's house. This is how we build his kingdom. Let's do what God says. He is God of all. We have to put our trust in him. When we put our trust in him, even if that tithe is the last thing that you have, you need to pay your tithe and watch God move on your behalf because you are faithful with it. If you're faithful to him, he will always be faithful to you. But we don't treat him right because we don't do what the word of God says. We don't pay our tithes and offerings like we're supposed to. For whatever reason. Like I said, people take things out of context. They say this and they say that. I'm not going to help the pastor do this. I'm not going to help the pastor do that. But it also said in 2 Corinthians, the last passage there in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 8, it said if you give sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you don't give anything, you're not going to get anything back. Not a thing. You got your hands closed so tight. God can't even put anything in your hand, and nobody can pull anything out because your hand is so tight. It says here in black and white, if you give sparingly, you will reap sparingly. It says, and give from your heart. God does not, don't be grudgingly giving. Don't be griping and going, this is my last one. Don't do that. God hears and he sees everything. He hears everything. So give from your heart. God loves us too. He loves a cheerful giver, it says here in the scripture. He wants us to give cheerfully. He wants us to be glad to give to his house. He wants us to be glad to help his people. He wants us to be glad to build up his kingdom. This is what we have to do as believers, as Christians. We have to start doing what the Bible says to. Way back here, Malachi is talking about it. Paul is talking about it. And still today, we still have to talk about it. There is no reason why we still have to talk about it. If saints would just get in line and people just get in line and do what they're supposed to do pertaining to God's people, to his house, to everything, we'll be able to take care of everything that we need if we just follow God's word and we just give faithfully, like the word says, give faithfully. God wants, he loves a cheerful giver. He'll do whatever you need done if you just do what you're supposed to do, pay your tithes and offerings, pay your tithes. That's all he asks you to pay is your tithe, 10%. Just give him that 10%, and that will help his people. Like I said, there is going to come a time when the church is going to be totally dependent upon by the world. They're going to come, and they're going to have to depend on the church because, like I said, the government is not going to be there. So we as the church, are we going to be there for God's people? And I was hearing Evangelist Spencer say, doesn't matter if they're drunk or what. Well, there should be clothes. There should be food. There should be things in God's house when people come that they'll be able to go out with a coat on. They'll be able to go out with a pair of shoes on. They'll be able to help somebody pay their light bill. They'll be able to get things fixed in the church. They'll be able to do, send kids, some kids to college or, pay this for a single mother or for a widow. But if we don't pay our tithes, we can't do this for the kingdom. We can't build the kingdom if we don't pay our tithes. And back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Hooper. That was such a blessing, and it just gave us so much to think about. As each one of the individual, our panelists, they had gone through the Word of God and through the revelation of God's Word, through God giving them what to say to the broadcast audience today. It was just so meaningful, and it would just stir your heart, because I believe that one who come before this question, I don't believe that God just sent in his word on today. I believe it's been a long time, or the first time that we ever talked about finance. But it is so important that we know the will of God, that we know the word of God. Somebody might say, well, I didn't know that God wants us to pay our tithe. Well, if you're hearing it, you may be hearing it for the first time on the Breakthrough broadcast. But, yes, it is a fact that God wants you to give in your tithe, and God wants you to give in your offering, because he said that if we don't do it, we are cursed with a curse. And we do it, the word of God said that he will open the windows of heaven and he will pour a blessing that there'll be not room enough to receive. He also said he will rebuke the devourer for our sake. So when we don't do what God has called us to do, then we're going to not be able to be one of those people that are receiving the blessings from God. But I just believe that when we have that faith and we have confidence and trust in the Almighty God, that I believe that the Lord God will bless you out of measure, and that he will meet every need in your life. And when you began to give, not to give grudgingly, I believe I heard Ms. Hooper mentioned that, and I believe that you ought to be a cheerful giver. You ought to give as unto the Lord. And yes, there are so many things that the church can do and that God's people can do when we begin to give like God wants us to give. And it doesn't matter. We began to give even that little that we have. You may look at what you have as being a very small amount. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because of the fact if you begin to give, God's going to begin to multiply in your giving. See, sometimes people give as long as they have a small amount to give. But when they say, I got to give $500 back to God, oh, my goodness, you're thinking about all those things that you can buy, all those things that you want to have, and you begin to enemies try to sneak and try to get your attention and try to get your heart in the wrong place. But as long as you do it unto God, as you give like God have given it to us again, because otherwise we are robbing God. You don't want to rob God. You don't want to take from God. If you take from God, you are cursed. And you may say, well, this is for my house. No. Give God the 10%. You may say, this is for a project that we're working on at the church. You're supposed to give the tithe. You're supposed to mark that as a tithe that you're giving back to God. Oh, this is the neighbor down the street. I'm going to give it to them. No, you give that 10% to God, and God will open the windows of heaven so that if they need some help, you will be a blessing to be able to go and give them some help. Or God will open up, touch other people's hearts so that they will be blessed. But again, we have to seek first the kingdom. We have to give it and do it as God have instructed us to do it. Somebody may make a check and they get $2,000 a week or whatever it may be. And then they will say, well, I'm going to give $100 of this to God. No, if you made $2,000 that week, you owe God $200. You know, you need to give God his money, every penny that belonged to him, so that you can be blessed. Now, if you don't give it with a cheerful heart, it's just not like you give it, because you want your offering to be acceptable unto God. But isn't it awesome how God loves us enough to instruct us? This is like a mother instructing her child, a father instructing his daughter or his son. God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to how to be prosperous in this, in everything that we do and in everything that we say. And I believe that if someone would like to say amen, that they certainly can, because I just believe that God wants us to be blessed. We are learning so much. God has given us so much, and we're getting ready to talk about going into our last topic, and that would be trust in God. And I believe that what an awesome word of God, just knowing that the trust in God. I mean, trust that we've had some awesome topics on today. But I believe when you come down to what giving and finance and putting God first, you first gonna have to trust in God. And we would like to take this opportunity to welcome our next panelist to the Breakthrough Broadcast. We'd like to welcome Ms. Sarah McKibben as she comes and she speaks to us about trusting in God, about trust in God. Welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
McCoy and all the panelists, good afternoon to everyone. I'll be reading out of the King James Version, coming from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10 and verses 17 through 19. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we cannot carry anything out. And having food and raiment, let us be therefore content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. That was verses 6 through 10. And, you know, a lot of times you hear pastors and teachers and evangelists, they say, you know, the love of, you know, money. They actually say money is the root of all evil, but it's the Word of God says it's the love of money. It's the love. It's something that, love is something that we crave, something that we desire, something that we feel like we can't do without, something that we feel like we have to have, that we need to have. And if we get the same, if we have the same love toward the love of God, knowing that He is the author and the finisher of our faith, knowing that He has complete control over our life, then we shouldn't fear anything because we trust that God has us. We trust that God is holding us in the palm of His hands. We trust that God is going to take care of all of our needs according to His riches and glory, trusting God that no matter what I cannot see in the future, that God still continues to hold me. So it's the Radio Land, I just want you to know that it's not money, but it's the love of money. And God sees the interior of our heart. He sees our heart. He sees what we put up as first in our life. And He recognizes that He may not be first in our life. So let's just remember that God needs to be first in our life. We need to trust God and know that He has us in the very palm of His hand. Now, coming from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, it says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." You know, to be rich, you can be rich in money, you can be rich in fame, and there are many ways that you can be rich. In fact, you can eat rich foods, but rich is a signet of our mind. Okay, are we rich? Do we have enough money? Do we have enough cars? Do we have enough this to get to here? And rich is, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I just want to be rich. I want to be rich. Well, why is it that person wants to be rich? Is it they feel that they don't have enough where they are? And the Bible strongly suggests that we be content. In Philippians, when Paul is talking to his, flipping to Philippians, the fourth chapter, the 11th verse, it's not that he speaks in respect of want. Paul is saying, I don't want you to want. I don't want you to be in need. He says, but he has learned in whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. So we need to understand that we may not have everything that we want, or we may not be in the place where we feel like we have everything covered and everything protected. But that's when the trust in God comes, that we trust that God has it to meet our needs. He has enough to handle anything that we have to face. And then going into Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6, it says, "Let the conversation be without covetousness, and be content in such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me." And that particular frame of scripture, I was thinking about to a time in my life when I had gotten laid off, and I said, God, you know, I have bills that need to be paid, and it seemed like I would look for jobs here and there, and every day I was on the internet looking for a position to work, and I said, God, it's not that I don't have a desire not to work. God, I want to work. I want to provide. And I kept on praying, and I said, well, God, I said, you are the author and the finisher of my faith. You are my everything. You are my all in all. And I was able to keep my car. I was able to keep insurance on the car. I was able to take care of the needs that I had in this house. But it was only because I continued to pay my tithe during that time. I continued to pay the offerings. If I could not give in offerings, I was giving of my time to the church, giving my time to the ministry, using my gas to go do things for ministry. So it's not necessarily sometimes when it's an offering, it could be a sacrificial offering of your physical body to go and do something for a man or woman of God or for the house of God. So I believe that, you know, we must be willing to hand things over to God, knowing that He is the only one who has allowed us to have our cars, our houses, our finances in the first place. But if God allows it to be all to be taken away, like he did for Job, if he allows it all to be taken away, we still have to trust and believe God that he is able, he is well able to give it back to us abundantly. But we have to trust God. We have to maintain our trust in God. We cannot distrust God. We have to keep him. People may let you down. Husbands may let you down. Wives may let you down. Family members, even your very own pastor, you may feel like they have let you down. But if you keep your trust in God and keep your eyes on him, he said, his word said that he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. So we have to keep our trust in him. We can't let the enemy come in and try to defeat us, cannot try to browbeat us into God wouldn't put you in a predicament. When we have a testament in the Old Testament of Job, who went through, I mean, his family was stricken from him. His even his wife told him to curse God and die. He had lost his cattle, and he had lost his sheep and his oxen, and he had lost everything that he had, and he even had an affliction come upon his body. But yet, there in awe, Job sat, and he said, I will trust God. Though he slay me, I'm going to trust in him, and I am going to wait. And Job waited until God turned it around, turned it around, turned it around. And thank God I have not been as the man Job, who was a just and upright man. I have not been proven to that effect, and I thank God I haven't. But God will meet your needs. If you have a problem paying tithes, I just challenge you today to give your tithe, that 10% of your gross income, give it to God and watch God turn things around for your family. If you can't give an offering, give of your time, give of yourself. Like the evangelist was saying, she picks up people and takes them to church or takes them where they need to go. That is an offering. And God looks upon the heart. He sees the heart. He doesn't judge our outside. He looks on the inside of our heart. What is the intent of our heart? And if our intent is perfect and upright before him, God has, he can't do anything but bless us. So I encourage you at the Breakthrough Broadcast family, Dr. McCoy, the other panelists, I encourage everyone that's listening to trust God. He will never fail you. He is the only, only, only one. He is the only one that will never, ever fail you. Back to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Sarah McKibbins. Oh, what a blessing. We thank God for God giving her what we need for today. And we need to trust God. We need to rely and to depend on him no matter what it is. Because many times there are testing times that we go through. Things come up and we have to make a decision whether or not we're going to pay this, especially our tithes, or pay something else. But when you have a mind that's already made up, when you're already committed to God, you don't even have to think about it, really, because you know that this tithe is going to my God. Because when I give in my tithe, number one, I'm pleasing God. I'm doing what God have already instructed me to do. So many people don't know about tithe paying. But I can assure you today, when you give in your tithe, when you give in your offering, I'm telling you that God will, he will take care of you. He will take care of your family. But David said, I have been young, but now I am old. But never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I'm telling you that God will take care of you. No matter what it is, he will take care of you. You can depend on God. You may not be able to depend on your job. You may not be able to depend upon other people that's important in your life, or that you feel that's important in your life. But I'm telling you that you can depend upon the Most High God. He said that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. But there is nothing too hard for him. I would like just to take this opportunity to thank our radio audience for tuning in on today, for listening to this dynamic topic on Foundation for Family Finances. We would like to thank the Lord God Almighty for giving us women of God that is able to rightly divide the word of truth. I would like to say thankful. I would like to thank God for Miss Helen Hooper, Evangelist Jordan Spencer, Pastor Monica Bryant, and Miss Sarah McKibbins for being a part of the Breakthrough broadcast. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And I know that there are many people that have heard this broadcast today, and I believe in my heart that they want to comply with what God's instruction is, and they want to do all that they can in order to please him. We've all missed it in our lives. One way or another, we've all missed it. Some things of God, we have missed it. But when God can open our eyes that we can see, then we ought to do what God has instructed us to do. When we can hear the word of God, then we ought to do all that we can in order to please the Almighty God. First of all, today, I want to pray for those that are not saved, that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, the word of God says that thou shalt be saved. And if you do not know Jesus Christ, no matter what you've done in your life, because the Bible said that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You may have been a street walker. You may have been a liar. You may have been a homemonger. You may have been so many things. But you know what? The Bible tells us that all unrighteousness is sin. But God, he paid that price 2,000 years ago for your sins and for my sins. So all you need to do today is ask the Lord, repent, to turn away from your wicked way, because all of us have wicked ways. Turn away from it, embrace Jesus Christ, ask him to forgive you for your sins, to come into your heart, and to save you, and he will. Why don't you just repeat after me? Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Save me. I want to be born again. I want my life to be changed. I don't want to live the same life I've been living, but I want to live this life so that I'll be able to see you and to see your face, that I'll be able to spend eternity with you. Father, I thank you for forgiving me for my sin. I thank you for casting every sin into the sea of forgiveness and remember it no more. I thank you, Lord God, for making me that new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, all things become new. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, this day and this hour. There may be some of you out there today that are struggling, that are going through, that are being depressed, being oppressed, going through things in your life, but you can depend upon Jesus. You can rely on him. I don't know even those that may have sickness in their bodies, infirmity. I pray even now that you, that the Lord God healing power, God would manifest upon each individual. God, those, God, that are oppressed and depressed, God, those, Father, in the name of Jesus, that are going through in their life and their family, Father, on their job, Lord, I pray even now that you would touch them. God, that you would make the difference in their life. Father God, in Jesus' name, that you will open up the windows of heaven, pour them out blessing that there be not room enough to receive. Lord, I pray even now that you will rebuke the devourer for their sake. And Father, thank you, Father, for healing them, for delivering them. I thank you for all those that were saved today, all those that heard the word today. And we thank you, dear God, in the name of Jesus, for each of our panelists, God, that you have given to the Breakthrough broadcast. And Father, we thank you and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, this has been the Breakthrough broadcast. We want you to tune in on this coming Monday at 5 o'clock for another broadcast that we have, which will bless thee, which will cause you to be moved and stirred up, which is called the Crossroads broadcast. It's a group of professional Christian counselors, and we specialize in premarital and marriage counseling and family issues. So why don't you tune in, tell someone else to join us on this coming Monday at 5 o'clock at the same station, and we will know that God will bless you. And again, before we close this broadcast on Wednesday and Friday morning at 9 a.m., you can tune in for Hour of Power. The power of the Lord is touching. The power of the Lord is moving. The Word of God is being preached. Souls have been saved. Lives have been changed. So we want you to tell somebody to join us so that they can receive what God has for them. Again, this has been Dr. Mary McCoy and the Breakthrough Broadcast, and we invite you to come and to join us on next Saturday. God bless you, and I say shalom to you, and be blessed.